going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That brings us to Anthony Slater, who joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Anthony, good morning. I don't know if you listen to any sports talk or read any of the fan vitriol or anything. Vitriol is not the right word. That's a little strong, but the fanfare, a lot of arrogance yesterday, from the hosts, from the fans, everything because of that win and how the Warriors won in game one, 95-85, they got dominated on the offensive glass 22-6. And it really felt like it didn't matter all that much. Now that's because Jalen Green went 3-for-15. Fred VanVleet went 4-of-19. And I say all that to say, did we overestimate the Rockets heading into this series? Or are we now underestimating them after one game? Good morning.
Both?
Probably. Okay, both.
Yeah. That's how sports works, right? But, yeah, I mean, look, their problem was their half-court offense, 21st ranked in the league this year. They're a terror in transition. They do, 22 offensive rebounds is a lot, but that's not outrageous for the Rockets. You know, they were easily the top offensive rebounding team in the league this year, so they're going to keep doing that. They didn't turn the Warriors over enough, at least live ball-wise, right? A lot of the Warriors' turnovers were just like pass out of bounds or some stuff like that. And even when they did turn them over, their lack of offense didn't allow them to take advantage of it. But, the Warriors still are struggling to score against the Rockets. That's two straight games. They haven't got to 100 points themselves. So depends on, I guess the whole, are people now underestimating them? I mean, if you just think it's going to be an easy sweep and game two is going to be just like game one, yes, you probably are underestimating them. But I think,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What you should have been concerned about on the Houston side entering the series and what, honestly, talking to Warriors people made them confident was confirmed in game one. Half-court offense is a problem. No star scorers on the perimeter. Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, inefficient, and they win 95-85.
Yeah, Houston had a 65 rating in the half-court offensively. It was bad. What are the adjustments? I mean, we know hitting shots with Fred VanVleet and maybe getting Jalen Green rolling, but is it a Tari Eason substitution of some sort? Jabari Smith usage going up? Şengün? What is their offensive counter, I guess, is the question. Pray.
Yeah, I mean, like what Jabari Smith went 3-3. He did look a little smooth in, you know, brief moments, but it's probably it counters to who they've been all year for suddenly Ime Udoka to want to up his usage. I think if they're a more desperate point of the series and the offense is such a problem, like Reed Shepard's sitting over there on the bench, I actually kind of like him long term as an offensive scorer. Cam Whitmore's over there, but you know, I don't think Ime's going to go to them. I just think part of the adjustment is sitting Jalen Green down in the film room, being like, stop taking these type of shots. Right, there were some wild ones he was taking, attacking into traffic, flailing towards the baseline, throwing up like, you know, basically these falling layups. I'd probably be more direct with my Şengün usage and probably run the offense like even more through him. I know he had a lot of, you know, what did he make, 11 shots, but it just, at key moments of time, it felt like too much Fred VanVleet and too much Jalen Green. So, you know, maybe there are ways to, you know, I guess rearrange that. But at the other point, like, there's also a lot of open missed shots, right? Like, yeah, they're not going to win if Fred VanVleet just came and hit an open three. So they've got to turn that on a little bit.
What did you make of the defense employed by the Warriors? Obviously, for long stretches, you saw some variation of a zone, whether it was a 2-3, a 3-2. I thought I saw a 1-3-1 at times. Certain matchup zones, you know, that was a big wrinkle. Are they going to continue to do that?
Yes, and that's what that was the benefit of the prep time, right, that Memphis did not get entering Oklahoma City. They got like 36 hours, and the Warriors did get with 4 days prior to Houston. It was why that – one of the reasons why that Tuesday night playing game, playing win was so important for them. This is who the Warriors have been. If you go back to 22, I can remember when Mike Brown was their defensive coordinator. Remember how often he would, you know, middle of possessions, just get up and start doing like box and one signals to Draymond Green, and then they would go zone. It's like, this is who the Warriors coaching staff always wants to be defensively, and this is the benefit of having, you know, Ray Lewis as your defensive guy on the floor, right? That's Draymond Green. He's a middle linebacker. He can call out signals. He can kind of change on the fly how he's feeling too, right? He's so smart out there. He gets a sense of what type of defense will work. And honestly, the Rockets' limitations allow you to try so many different things. Their lack of shooting and scoring punch, and there's not a star scorer on the perimeter that you need to, you know, completely shade your help towards. I mean, the fact that they can leave Steph on an island if he gets switched on to Jalen Green and be like, ah, you know, Jalen Green might hit the shot, but that's not going to make them change their help or send an early double. Like, it allows you to do so many creative things.
Talking with Anthony Slater here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Shasky. Anthony Slater, obviously Warriors insider for The Athletic and right here on 95.7 The Game. What'd you make of Moody and Pods getting their first ever playoff starts and their performances in the win?
I thought Pajemski was good pretty much throughout. You know, I mean, he had his moments, but, you know, I think he kind of showed himself as their fourth starter, fourth closer. I thought Moody was shaky for a while, but obviously had two of the biggest shots of the game and closed. And I think part of the reason he closed is – I didn't think the bench was that good, right? Gary Payton, I think it was like a minus 10 in 15 minutes. Post looked a little bit overwhelmed by the moment in his first playoff game. We'll see if that continues. Obviously, he didn't go to Kuminga, so there wasn't really great closing options ahead of Moody. He did close. He kind of, that was his best stretch of the game late in the fourth quarter. And the thing with Moody, we probably tend to forget because he's been out of the rotation so many times during the regular season. He's kind of, I don't want to say a playoff vet, but this is like his third playoff run where he's cracked into the rotation. Obviously, this is his most important one. He's starting, and at times he's closing. But that stage shouldn't be too bright for Moses Moody. He's been there. He was playing down the stretch of that Lakers series a couple years ago.
He was. I remember that was a tough assignment after Andrew Wiggins got hurt going up against LeBron in that game six. Anthony, you mentioned it, the Kuminga thing, right? And you made it known. I think you tweeted before game one, right? I'm paraphrasing here. But that you were like, yeah, he'd probably be like an in-series adjustment, maybe an in-game adjustment if they see something, but don't expect Jonathan Kuminga to be part of this early rotation off the bench here in game one. Were you surprised at all about the DMP when they were started to, that 23-point lead started dissipating for Golden State, and you saw the size and the youth and the athleticism of the Rockets kind of showing their teeth a little bit? Were you surprised at all that they didn't pivot to Kuminga? And I guess my main overarching question is, did something happen between Kerr and Kuminga at some point? Is there anything deeper than the surface of, hey, it's just a bad matchup and you got the short end of the stick like TJD? Or is there something potentially deeper there? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I know you have your sources that you can't give up, all that sort of stuff. But is there anything deeper between Kerr and Kuminga and that relationship at all?
I mean, no, nothing happened. Steve Kerr just doesn't think he should be in the current rotation. The numbers have told him, and Kerr wants to win this way with this lineup that turned their season around while Kuminga was hurt. And when Kuminga came back, he's mentioned it, the pairing with him and Jimmy Butler, the numbers haven't worked. And certainly the three-man pairing, if you add Draymond Green into it. Now Jimmy Butler's playing 42 minutes a night. So he just pivoted away from him in the rotation. There is not some, argument or any type of thing that has happened behind the scenes. It's just, as far as their relationship goes, it's 4 years of Jonathan Kuminga, kind of being yanked around, the rotation and playing time and all that. But that's a more, bigger picture thing than a momentary type thing. We'll see. To me, he's still looms out there as the guy. If they're, if they lose in a way tonight, and he can be an adjustment heading towards game three. But to be honest, it feels to me like Gui Santos has turned into their in-game pivot point. What did he play, like 6 minutes? It just seems like if Steve Kerr's looking for some, an energy spark, he goes to him for 2 or 3 minutes. And so I would consider Kuminga, further than that down the pecking order right now. But we'll see if that changes. I do think, it's interesting, like Gary Payton gets it however many minutes he got, and I think 15 was a minus 10. To me, those could be the Kuminga minutes, partly because there is not a guy you have to throw Gary Payton on. This is like not necessarily a series where you're like, go slow this perimeter guy down. But Steve Kerr likes the way this rotation's playing, and they do keep winning, so it's hard to be overly critical.
There's no doubt. And whether it's like TJD for a minute, I've hypothesized a lot of different things. The thing that kind of bugs me, I guess, is, JK and this guy and this guy, that doesn't work. Well, I can make a similar argument for the GP2 Buddy Hield Kevon Looney triad that's been out there for about a month, and it's been nothing. It's been a nothing burger. Looney has not looked good. It's just period. And if he's not going to get rebounds, he's clearly not an offensive threat. Buddy has been searching for his shot for so long. Are those guys at risk? Because you referenced GP2. Are those guys at risk of having someone else, JK or another player, Gui Santos or TJD or someone else that I'm not bringing up? Are they having their minutes maybe restricted?
Yeah, I think in the playoffs, everything's on the table, but I think it becomes much more on the table when you're not succeeding. And I think, you guys remember Steve's press conference post-game in Portland, the second to last game of the regular season, where to me, that was him telling the world that Kuminga was about to be out of the rotation. He talked about, offensive flow, and, I think that is the choice he's made, even when he's putting guys like Buddy Hield, who might not be shooting well, or, you mentioned some of the other rotation options that maybe aren't playing that well. To him, it seems to be more about just like how this 9-man, 10-man rotation is, you know, moving out on the court together, even if the threes aren't falling X or Y. I just think he's of the belief that throwing Kuminga in there is a wrench to the flow of this team. And he, you know, he's being relatively transparent about it.
Well, throw Kuminga to the side because it's obviously a lightning rod. Like TJD and Looney. Like, I don't know. I'm just, maybe I'm hyper-focused on Loon, but well, Loon ain't been great.
Yeah, the other thing I think if we take two steps back and view this playoff run and who Steve Kerr is and who he trusts over the course of his career and who he's going to like ride to the finish line with, it's his veterans, right? I mean, this is all about trying to maximize and, you know, whatever, the meaningful basketball thing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green. I just think if you just tell him, you know, Trace Jackson Davis or Kevon Looney with in a big playoff game in Houston, like we all kind of know what box he's going to check there, right? You know, he's going to think about what Kevon Looney did for him in the four previous playoff runs prior and stuff like that. So I just he's a veteran type coach, Steve Kerr. Not that he won't play young guys. Clearly he's playing young guys right now, but it's just like he's going to trust Kevon Looney in these type of scenarios.
No, I hear you. I think he's been getting outplayed, we love the guy, and I know he's useful, and he's going to have an opportunity down the stretch, but I do think when they go Steven Adams and they go with Şengün, trying something else, whether it is small ball 5 Gee or Trace Jackson Davis for a minute or Quentin Post for a little longer than you'd like, I think it would be worth exploring. Now, that being said, there was a couple moments in this game where it felt like Draymond Green was about to lose emotional control. And I give him and I give Steve and the staff credit. They kind of reeled him back in. Did anyone talk to either one of them about that? Because it sure felt like it was teetering on, something might happen here, something might happen here. And to Draymond's credit, he like bottled it up. And I thought he played great defense down the stretch. And I was worried he might catch, you know, a bogus flagrant or attack or something.
Yeah, I think it was like... That was the version you want, the version that straddled the right side of the fence. And also, I thought Steve Kerr took a good time out. There was a moment that was right when him and Şengün and the referees were kind of getting in the mix, and it seemed like some fireworks were potentially going to happen. And Steve went, you know, quick time out to cool everything off. And I think Steve's been better about that ever since that Orlando game where he got ejected. And mm-hmm. I'm talking a couple seasons ago at this point. He got ejected in the first quarter. I remember Steve being kind of regretful that he didn't call the timeout after the first tech, right? Get him out of the game. I think after that situation, he has learned that sometimes one of the better usage of his timeouts is the coolest situation that Draymond's involved in. So I think you saw that. And then you guys probably saw the Jerry Stackhouse kind of talking to Draymond. That was on the broadcast, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, Jerry was just basically messaging him to like lock back. And Draymond sometimes gets overly upset about like a specific defensive mistake or a turnover. And like oftentimes, as you guys know, he's right about, you know, his teammate making this mistake, that referee making a call that was like the wrong call. And I think sometimes, and this is what Jerry did the other day, it's like, okay, that's fine. Accept the mistake by the referee or your teammate and get, you know, let's start thinking bigger picture about winning the game again. So I think Jerry did a good job of that the other day.
Yeah, Paz needs to also get on that memo when he's trying to challenge plays that are going in his favor already, but he still finds the need to do the challenge thing. We're talking to Anthony Slater here.
Did you see him yell down at Houston's bench to challenge his own charge?
Yeah, that's what I
was just alluding to, yeah. Anthony, right there. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
How about when he did the gladiator?
He did the
gladiator after the tip, which ricocheted off the backboard right to Draymond. Late in the game. It was a great play. He did like the gladiator, are you not entertained, to the entire Houston crowd. He's a character.
I would love, yeah, that confidence. I think we should all strive to have that confidence, like a Brandon Pajemski talking to Anthony Slater, a Warriors insider for The Athletic. The guy we haven't even brought up today, the guy's the talk of the town, the talk of everything, it's Jimmy Butler. Anthony, I mean, this guy, playoff Jimmy has officially arrived. Like, play-in Jimmy is a thing, obviously, boom, this Miami Heat days, but playoff Jimmy is here. You know, we were kind of talking yesterday after the show, just teammates for Stephen Curry. And obviously you're probably going the best teammate he's ever had. It's probably top 10, top 15, like player of all time wise is Kevin Durant, right? I know Clay means a lot to him. Can we potentially, outside of Kevin Durant, like if they go on a deep run here, win the whole damn thing,
like Jimmy Butler, man, where he ranks as far as Steph Curry teammates goes, like I'm starting to think he's rising up the rankings pretty damn fast if this thing continues. And I know it's early, but just what we're getting from him now, 10 and 19, 25 points, calming things down. I listened to the vets talking about his calming presence, and that's the difference from what Jimmy Butler brings to this team over the last few years. Just speak on Jimmy Butler and where he ranks with Stephen Curry teammates potentially.
Five steals, too. I would, like, can't forget some of the Clay games.
Yeah, no, you know, no, like I know, I know, yeah.
Like, it's this dynasty run has lasted so long.
But doesn't it feel different, like, though, Anthony? With Jimmy's just such a, he's an alpha. Like, and I love Clay. He was never going to be a number one on a team right now. I'm not saying Jimmy is a true number one on this team, but he's a 1B.
But the style, I think the
style's so much different.
The style's different. Yeah. He's much more of a ball stopper, and yeah. I actually think it's a good thing for this team at times.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's the right guy at the right moment. We know that. And certainly, you know, considering what Clay, you know, with the injuries, what he is at this point of his career. But, you know, I was also in the Oklahoma City arena, and I've never seen a franchise so shell-shocked by a performance. Like, they're still scarred by when Clay Thompson walks in the building in Oklahoma City. And, you know, I think about the moment Clay tore his ACL, and he was the best player on the floor in a Toronto Finals Game 6. And, like, you know, again, Jimmy Butler is more of, like you said, more of like a kind of a 1A score, you know, like the imprints he puts on his game. Clay is so unique, but, you know, Clay at his peak, Draymond, you know, at his defensive peak, and then you mentioned KD, even Iguodala. I mean, think about the finals Iguodala had. It's so, like, we'll see what this Jimmy playoff run is. And clearly, like I said, like, right guy, right moment. He's exactly what this team needs. He's exactly what Steph needs, if you've seen that. And I mean, like, the scoring uptick has been impressive. The jumper now feels a lot more, you know, like, likely to go in when he rises up. And to me, that's a huge thing. That's always been kind of an undercurrent within his, you know, famous playoff runs, is suddenly he starts hitting threes and hitting mid-range jumpers at a greater degree, and it feels like that's what's happening.
I thought that Steve Kerr did a brilliant job going back to Moses Moody in this game, even though he wasn't playing great, hasn't shot well for multiple weeks, if not months, and he hit two big shots, the late shot clock, kind of midi, and then that corner three. I thought those were huge moments for him in what is hoping to be a long playoff run, and they're going to need him to shoot better. How important was that for him and for this team to get Moses Moody to be a viable option down the stretch?
Probably big. It's tough to know, you know, because he has been, like, kind of cold from three lately, but, you know, you got to think hitting maybe the biggest three of the game ups the confidence level heading into game two. They need it, as you said. Particularly, like, points seem like at such a premium in this series. So how about the, like, kind of fadeaway he had?
Nice.
I mean, you don't want that type of offense. That's more like late cock, panicky type. You know, you just got to get a shot up, but it looked pretty good. I mean, his scoring, I would say, remember when he was at his, like, right around the time Butler got here, he had a surge of X amount of straight games with, like, 15 or more points, stuff like that. Like, if they can get that version of him back, I do think that's one of those, like, quiet X factors that bumps the ceiling of this team, that makes them more of a threat, you know, even if it's in the next round against Minnesota or the Lakers or something like that. Like, they're going to need nights like that.
Completely agree.
Were you surprised at all? You just brought up that series. Were you surprised at all? Minnesota flexing game one on the Lakers like that? Obviously, we're looking ahead a little bit too far ahead. You got to take care of business against the Rockets, but the Warriors would be playing one of those two teams.
I'm not ready to even consider that.
I'm asking Anthony. Like, maybe I'm recalibrating. It's like, oh, maybe I don't want to see the T-Wolves if I'm a Warriors fan, potentially. Is that too crazy?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I think that series is fascinating, regardless of if the Warriors are coming out of the Houston series or not, just who's going to win it. I think LeBron is about to ratchet it up tonight. I think we're going to get a lot more answers about, like, you know, how physically overwhelming Minnesota is or isn't in this series. Because I thought LeBron coasted the other night. Luka didn't look that good. You do concern yourself with the Lakers defensively, just giving up tons of wide open threes. They have no rim protection, especially when Jackson Hayes is out of the game. So, you know, and Minnesota, like, Anthony Edwards showed it during the playoff run last year. I mean, like, he's super dangerous on this type of stage. But the one thing you do wonder with them, they seem to kind of throttle on and sometimes kind of lose steam late in games, late in playoff series, late in playoff runs. Like, I don't think you're just going to see that version of the Timberwolves all the time.
Hey, Anthony, good stuff. We really appreciate it, man. Good luck tomorrow covering the game. Should be an exciting one. Warriors go up 2-0 tomorrow. I am talking sweep. Anthony, next time we talk to you. Have a good one, man.
All right, fellas.
There we go.
See you, buddy.
Anthony Slater, Warriors insider for The Athletic.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.